Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn about the health benefits of horseradish, including anti-cancer effects. Who says? University of Illinois, published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry. In fact, it's 10 times more powerful than broccoli. But I'll get into that in a little bit. Today also, a special commentary from TruthDig's Chris Hedges, the new Black Codes. I think you'll find it of interest. I have my own commentary as well on this. And then some interesting audio clips, videos. And this would be 54% of children suffer disabilities caused by vaccination. This is all science-based, and it provides those of you who are concerned about whether you should take the flu vaccine or any vaccine or your children, it provides you with the honest science. And it also shows you a person who is well-informed, challenging a group of doctors who are completely uninformed. Then we have Julian Assange giving us a two-minute clip about nearly every war has been resulted in by the media bias and lies. So the media helps the establishment, the deep state, the military-industrial complex, and all of its players justify the rationale for war. They are held responsible by no one. I'd like your opinions in our talkback segment after Julian Assange's clip. I'd like you to call in and tell us whether or not you feel that the media should be held accountable, and if so, in what way. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. Now, because I don't have my own commentary today, I'm saving it until tomorrow. I have three commentaries, three really important ones, one on the environment. In fact, I was thinking about it this morning, and I just literally stayed up all night and writing it. It's a completely different way of looking at the environment. It shows the truth of the dystopian view, but it also downplays the idea that it is all bad and all fatalistic. There are things as individuals we can do. So that's coming at you probably in another day or two. So we've got a lot of heady stuff this week for you. And then we also have something that we've been talking about involving the deep state, but nobody paid attention. So I thought now, in retrospect, we will go back and let you hear in their own words a potpourri of New World Order enthusiasts, including Joe Biden, George Bush, Henry Kissinger, John Kerry, Bill Clinton, Richard Nixon, and Rachel Maddow. And again, I'd like for you to share your thoughts on this as well. Beginning tomorrow, I'll be taking your calls. I'm going to set aside time every day. You can either ask a question or make a comment, providing that your question is an empowering one. And I'll give you that number so you can know what number to call in on. 862-800-6805. 862-800-6805. That's if you have a question or a comment. Happy to take it. That'll begin tomorrow. Now, for those of you who would like to watch the video and not just listen to it, when it's playing today, the three of them, you can, if you're on your computer, which many of you are, you can go to youtube.com/PRNFM. youtube.com/PRNFM. All right, and always keep our number. You never know when the station you're listening to has recently happened. On WBI, one morning, we went off the air at 5 o'clock when there was a coup attempt and didn't come back for 4 weeks. That caused a lot of the audience to find other venues, unfortunately, at a time when we couldn't afford that loss. But I think they knew it. I think that was part of the deal. They knew that we'd get back on the air, but they also knew the longer we were off the air, the more the audience would go someplace else. So at the end, in 3 or 5 or 6 months maximum, there's a high probability this moment, just being completely honest, no matter how hard we try, and we are trying hard. I'm sure some of you have been listening and complaining why all these breaks to raise funds, because there's no funds. So the larger corporation, the foundation's board, will probably vote at that time that, yes, we love BAI, but let it go and sell it off to save the other stations. So the Coosters will have won. And I believe that was their effort, along with Agent Provocateurs, that were also playing into this. In any case, when that day comes, you can call this number. I'll still be here. Write it down, please. 774-337-6068. 774-337-6068. And by the way, I've asked the station program director, station manager, I've asked everyone there, have a plan B. I'm willing to help them, even help them get some studios and help them better define themselves going forward, no matter what the outcome is. So it's not that anybody is saying, okay, well, let's just walk away. No one's walking away. It's that there's inevitability here, and it's going to happen. That's unfortunate. That's my feeling. I hope I'm wrong. We begin with something that people rarely, if ever, consume. That's horseradish. Now, if you went into a supermarket, I'll bet you wouldn't know what it looks like. Actually, it looks like an elephant's trunk and a head. It looks like a head. It does. And the best thing to do is you take it home, you wash it, always wash everything, and then you scrape it with a vegetable scraper, and then you can throw it into a blender, or you can shred it down, and then put some extra virgin olive oil, lemon juice, and mustard seed, and let it marinate overnight. Then use that the next day in a salad. But here's why you should be eating more of the horseradish. According to the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, horseradish can help you detoxify and remove cancer-causing free radicals in the body. Now, we knew that it had a lot of health benefits, but as a detoxifying agent, it is absolutely at the top of the list. It's even better than spirulina or chlorella. In fact, the horseradish contains 1,000% more glucosinolates than broccoli. And they, just so you know, the gluco, G-L-U-C-O, sinolates, S-I-N-A-T-E-S, they increase the ability of the liver to detoxify cancer-causing chemicals and suppress the growth of existing cancerous tumors. So you're talking about a very powerful phytochemical with a lot of health-promoting properties. So that's good to have horseradish. And what I do is I'll take some avocado, and Hass avocado will work, but the Florida round avocado works just as well. And you slice it, nice piece, maybe a quarter inch, put that on some Essene bread, which is a gluten-free bread because it's all sprouts. And then on top of that, you put some honey mustard, and you can make your own, or you can buy it. And then on top of that, you put a nice big thick, like a half inch, of delicious tomato. And on top of that, you put a bunch of alfalfa sprouts or sunflower sprouts or pea sprouts. They're all good. I don't like the pea sprouts because they're so stringy, but all the rest of them, they're not stringy, and you can digest all of it. And then on top of that, you can put yourself some coconut cheese. It's a cheese made from coconut, and it tastes just like regular cheddar cheese or Provenzano cheese or Sharp Jack. You put a slice of that. Then you put your marinated horseradish on top of that. Now, that's a sandwich. That's delicious. Remember, we have a lot of anti-cancer foods that we can consume, but most people don't consume them. So, just something to help you. From the University of Oklahoma comes a study of how we can increase the mito, M-I-T-O, chondria, C-H-O-N-D-R-I-A, mitochondria, that's your energy-producing factories in the body, with antioxidants to prevent vascular cognitive impairment associated with just aging. And all the people who just finished our study, which, by the way, as soon as I get the blood results, I'll tell you, but it goes from the blood lab to a research medical methodologist who then does the review and does a before and after. Now, there's still one more blood chemistry coming in 30 days, and we'll see what that says. But this is the one that's important. We're going to see how much de-aging we did, how much inflammation we turned off. And I can tell you this, we have seen the results of the physicals, and they're phenomenal. I mean, people went from 35% body fat to 20% body fat. That's huge. In 60 days, people who couldn't walk 100 yards without stopping and being tired walked 13 miles. And we have one guy that walks a marathon. And I just got word today that people who went home and then on Friday saw their medical doctor for their pre-existing diabetes or high blood pressure, they were all normal. All of them are normal. And the doctors were asking, what'd you do? And they said, well, we just went to a health retreat and followed a healthy lifestyle. And I, good, leave it at that. But now we're going to see what the big deal is. In any case, one of the things that I did is create protocols that will reverse the aging of the mitochondria and actually create new mitochondria. Because one of the reasons that people get fatigued as they age is they have less of the energy factories. It's like, visualize when you're 17, 18 years old, you're a 12-cylinder car. You can go right up any hill. When you're 40, you're down to about 6 cylinders. When you're 60, you're down to about 4 cylinders. When you're 70, you're down to about 3 cylinders. So even if you want to go up that hill, you can't unless you change something, and that's what is happening. So in this one, they found that the mitochondria is benefited by antioxidants. Aha, there's your vitamin A and vitamin C and vitamin E and zinc, selenium. Okay, those are your antioxidants, and they help with vascular cognitive impairment. So they're helping heal the brain. They're reducing oxidative stress. So that's important. From McGill University, there's a study that just finished about cranberries can help stop antibiotic resistance. Well, that's a double positive because we know that the best way of treating urinary tract infection is with cranberry juice, unsweetened cranberry juice. And I would add unsweetened cranberry juice and unsweetened pomegranate juice. I do the two together with vitamin C and lemon juice. That really knocks it out. But it also is shown that the cranberry extract has the power to stop various serious problems of antibiotic resistance. And a lot of people don't realize when you walk into a hospital, everything you touch, every single square inch of surface area in a hospital could be infected with bacteria. And then you carry that home with you, or if you're in a hospital, you know, you're touching different parts of your body, you scratch your arm, now it's on your arm. And it loves any kind of wound or scratch, and it multiplies. But after applying cranberry extract to cultures of the bacteria, they noticed that cranberry molecules render the cultures more sensitive to antibiotics. And their effects were twofold. They made the bacteria membranes more permeable to the antibiotic while disrupting the mechanisms used by the bacteria when it wants to eliminate the antibiotic. That's very positive. And after all, there are bacteria that can cause gastroenteritis, pneumonia, and urinary tract infections. So being able to get rid of them, that's a big deal. So cranberry extract is known to help be one of the most positive proanthocyanidins in all of nature. And you need those. Grapes also have that. Also from the University of Liverpool comes a study of about the effects of exercise can keep cirrhosis and liver cancer at bay. Now, why is this important? Let's put it in the proper context. Approximately 30% of American population, or around 110 million people, 105 million people, suffer from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Now, that's a condition in which fat builds up in the liver. In some cases, that can lead to liver cirrhosis, which is a scarring, or even liver cancer. Now, fortunately, people with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease can reduce the risk of liver cirrhosis and liver cancer with regular physical exercise. And I mean, you know, really, really put the hours in. It can also lower your blood pressure, your cholesterol, reduce abdominal fat, reduce triglycerides, and reduce your risk of diabetes. So more reasons for this to be good. And this was research done at University of Haifa, Tel Aviv Medical Center, Tel Aviv University, that found that lots of benefits from exercising, including reducing fatty liver disease. From Ochinosmusu University in Japan comes a study about the greater the intake of polyphenols, the lower the risk of all causes and specific cause death in adults. So according to the study, and this is important, this originated out of Tokyo in Japan, several epidemiological studies have demonstrated the health benefits of polyphenols. But the association between polyphenol intake and death, including total and major causes of death, remain unclear. So they investigated the association, and they found that you can substantially reduce your causes of dying, like from cardiovascular disease and cancer, and other causes of death when you have more polyphenols. One more reason, eat your fruits and vegetables. That's the big difference. Okay? That's where you get your polyphenols. And green tea. 2 teaspoons of nuts. That's it. That's a tiny amount. Can stave off cognitive decline in the elderly. University of South Australia. So when you consider how many people have beginning intermediate advanced dementia or Alzheimer's, we really should be consuming more nuts. I suggest walnuts, pine nuts are excellent. Almonds, pistachios are terrific. All right? And this was an important study, and it's simple and easy. And from Korea University in Seoul, Korea, smartphone addiction creates imbalances in your brain. Researchers have found an imbalance in the brain chemistry of young people addicted to smartphones and the internet. This was presented at the annual meeting of the Radiological Society of North America. Now, according to a recent Pew Research Center, 46% of Americans say they cannot live without their smartphones. While this sentiment is clearly hyperbole, more and more people are becoming increasingly dependent upon smartphones, and a lot of them are using those little blue tubes right in the ear all day long. That's really, in my opinion, one of the most dangerous things you could be doing. So then they're spending way too much time on their phones or interacting or on the internet. All that is terrible for your brain and your immune system. And finally, from Tianjin University in China, fermented tea could help protect the liver from high-fat diet damage. This is published in Food Science and Human Wellness. Most Americans, and now a lot of Chinese, are consuming high amounts of fat. The Chinese, they get it from pork more than anything, and then they eat a lot of chicken and chicken fat. Throw in the dogs and cats, which, wow. I wrote about that this morning. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting there writing about how can a nation be so advanced technologically and still be having dog feasts where they have all these poor, wonderful, loving, gentle, sentient creatures and they're eating them. It's just, anyhow, that's what I said. I have a completely different approach to the environment. And the next moment, you turn into the technology journal today, and at 4 o'clock this morning, I'm reading about China just has a train that is so fast, it can actually go between the capital and one of the outer provinces faster than an airplane. You're talking about getting up over 400 miles an hour. Yeah. So why can't you apply the same principles of commandeering some of the best scientific minds in the world and the greatest technology and bring it down to a more humanistic level? But then you would have to also examine your whole credit system for scoring people and you'd have to examine all your detention camps for the Muslims that you're imprisoning and torturing, your re-education. Didn't we have that with Mao? How'd Mao work out for you? How did all my friends who went over to praise the little book? No, he was just a genocidist. But don't tell people who are committed to an ideology before they're committed to common sense. It confuses them. They tend to be like a fainting goat, fall off to the left side and froth at the mouth for about an hour. Wow. And what about all the organ transplants of the Uyghurs? Over a million of them have had their organs, while they're still alive, chained in hospital rooms and prison hospitals. And then they give you a credit score, know everything you do. What a confused society, and they're all so bankrupt. Wait till that word gets out. I'm going to be doing a special on how bankrupt China is and why it does matter on an upcoming program, when I'm talking about just how bankrupt is the whole world. Well, the whole world's bankrupt. It really is. And these economists are such idiots. God, are they just, well, they're like psychiatrists. There's no science behind what they do. If there was, then we'd be hauling Ben Bernanke and those 12,000 PhD economists up before People's Tribunal and say, you caused 24 million Americans to be thrown out of their homes, 7 million homes foreclosed on. You caused untold suffering, $14 trillion to be lost, and you were supposed to be the smartest guy in the room. And you rewarded your friends, and not a single person was rewarded, of just average people. Since when did we allow this to pass as reasonable dialogue and actions? Anyhow, you'll hear all this in this commentary I wrote this morning about, and all, by the way, it has everything to do with the environment. And in Amsterdam, they have a particular, in the Netherlands, I'll just make it simpler. In the Netherlands, they have, for long periods of time, they practice a particular method of looking at life. It is called Uitwaaien, Uitwaaien. What it means, it provides psychological benefits from the pastime in the Netherlands of being outside and breathing and spending time outdoors all year long. And even as a toddler, get the toddlers out. Outside and move your body, something we take for granted. But in the Netherlands, people have been seeking out windy exercise for more than 100 years. And it literally translates to outblowing, meaning get outside, get where there's wind, get where there's the environment, cold, hot, doesn't matter, get out and exercise. And they find it a very relaxing experience and de-stressing, and especially it helps you escape much of the trauma of the city life. We don't do it. We should. Oh, by the way, from Mashhad University Medical Sciences in Iran, come psyllium seeds fighting GERD. Now, GERD is a gastrointestinal reflex disease. That's GERD, G-E-R-D. It's an incredibly common digestive disorder characterized by heartburn and acid reflex, and the phenomenon when stomach acid flows back into your esophagus. And about 40% of Americans struggle with GERD, and while 40% experience heartburn once a month or more frequently, and my research shows that it's primarily due to coffee and highly acidic, anabolic, and it can contribute to teeth erosion, respiratory problems. You know, it's serious. But if now they found, they didn't look for the cause, they looked for treatment, and they found that psyllium seed treats GERD better than drugs. Well, that's easy. Take a teaspoon to a tablespoon of hulled psyllium seeds, put it into a blender, and then put some aloe vera in there, a teaspoon of manuka honey, liquefy it, any kind of juice you want, and then drink it down. That will help. That's the latest on health and healing. We are 24 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come directly back from the break. And I want you to hear this important talk out by educated parents, educated now and intentionally ignorant before. And it's not to shame anyone or blame them. It's just to say, Anytime you trust the government to think for you, to act on your best behalf, you better make sure that you're correct in the assumption that there's no other motive except one of helping you. Because the government has told people, don't fear vaccines, they're safe, they're saving lives, they're highly effective, none of which is true. But we're a nation that doesn't like to do our homework until after we have been victimized. And then people have to live with the anger at the establishment and themselves, because in effect, you hear it all the time, they only wanted to do what they thought was right for their child, understandable. And they trusted their doctor. Big mistake. We'll hear it when we come back.
Vaccine choice is a fundamental human right. American children are experiencing an epidemic of poor health, with 54% of our children suffering a chronic illness or neurodevelopmental disability. Nearly 9 million children have skin allergies, 8 million have respiratory allergies, 7 million have asthma, 5 million have a learning disability, 1 in 400 is diabetic, and 1 in 50 kids has autism. What you may not know is that science links all these chronic illnesses to vaccines. Vaccine injuries are real, and some are life-threatening. The U.S. government acknowledges that children have been severely injured and killed by vaccines. Vaccine manufacturers and doctors who administer vaccines have no liability for vaccine injuries. In 1986, in response to multi-million dollar jury verdicts for vaccine injuries and pharmaceutical lobbying, Congress enacted the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. Congress indemnified vaccine manufacturers and created Vaccine Court, a closed administrative agency with no judge, no jury, and no discovery. Victims are paid from taxes collected from each dose of vaccine sold. More than $3 billion in damages have already been paid. Many vaccine injuries are never reported, and families are left caring for their injured children. Reported cases take years to resolve, and payouts are often insufficient to compensate victims.
Minton Smith says she's sharing her story because of the measles outbreak and the backlash against parents who do not vaccinate. This video of Leo Smith was shot about 8 months after he received two vaccine injections, including one for diphtheria and whooping cough. Leo's mother, Amy Minton Smith, says within days he had hives, joint swelling, and a fever, and within weeks, seizures. Doctors told her the cause was a rare vaccine reaction. 2 months after the injections, the symptoms subsided, but Leo stopped talking. 8 months later, the original symptoms returned after Leo caught a cold. This time, Leo developed an eye tic soon after he was diagnosed with autism and later other neurological disorders like Tourette's syndrome. His mother says she feels constant guilt.
I thought I was protecting him by taking him in to get his vaccines, and I ended up injuring him for the rest of his life.
She took her case to a federal program set up for vaccine injuries.
The vaccine court ruled that the vaccine did in fact injure Leo and awarded him $55,000.
The judgment did not cover the autism diagnosis.
I regret not looking into it, and now it's too late.
Congress and the Supreme Court legally classify vaccines as unavoidably unsafe products, which are expected to injure and kill some children. We are told vaccines are safe and effective, and most people never question this. But vaccines are not safe and effective for everyone. Mandating vaccines means some children will be injured or killed, and no one can tell you in advance if your child will be one of them.
The devil is always in the details. And one of the problems with vaccines is they've been so great that people overly generalize about them as if they're only great. We looked at other first world countries. We're 34th in under five mortality behind such luminaries as Cuba and Slovenia. However, we have 36 vaccines. The top five, which include countries like Finland, Norway, Iceland, average 11 and 13 vaccines. From 1994, we added 8 vaccines to our schedule. There are vaccines like flu, rotavirus, varicella that have only been picked up by 2 or 3 of the other 30 countries. So what do they know that we don't? Why aren't they picking up vaccines that have been around for 15 years? And why are their autism rates 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,500, 1 in 2,000? It doesn't take a brain surgeon or an ER doctor to figure out there might be a correlation.
Vaccines are really the one thing we have looked at as causing autism.
Yeah, and I agree with
that. That is completely bogus. That is such a bogus statement. How many vaccines have they looked at in these studies? How many? What's the answer? It's 2. How many ingredients have they studied of 35? What's the answer? It's 1. You've looked at 2 of 36 shots and 1 of 35 vaccines, and you're going to stand on the stage and say that vaccines and autism are unrelated? It is the most bogus tobacco science. It's a smokescreen. Anybody who takes the time to read it would agree. We are so frustrated by not being heard. We are so tired of not being heard. And we're so tired of hearing doctors like the second doctor there who says it's been proven that vaccines and autism are unrelated. It's simply untrue, and it's maddening as a parent.
Vaccines are pharmaceutical products, but they are studied differently than all other pharmaceutical products. Vaccine studies do not use true placebos. Instead of water or saline, they use other vaccines or other chemicals, such as aluminum. Vaccines are studied singly, but are given in large combinations. Vaccine safety studies use healthy subjects, but vaccines are administered to all children, regardless of health condition or susceptibilities. There has never been a large, long-term clinical study comparing health outcomes between vaccinated and unvaccinated children, despite Congress repeatedly directing the CDC to do such a study.
I wonder if the CDC has conducted or facilitated a study comparing vaccinated children with unvaccinated children yet. Have you done that?
We have actually done a number of studies looking at the relationship between thimerosal vaccines and autism and other developmental disabilities.
So clearly, definitely, unequivocally, you have studied vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
We have not studied vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
Stop there. That was the meaning of my question. You wasted 2 minutes of my time.
There's a new whistleblower on the autism forefront, and Dr. Brian Hooker from the Focus Autism Foundation says he has a source inside the CDC. Now we know his name, Dr. William Thompson, and Dr. Thompson shared his story with Dr. Brian Hooker. Thompson says he stayed quiet for over 10 years after finding a link between vaccines in young black children and autism. Thompson says the CDC knew about this link and purposely manipulated the evidence by removing black babies without birth certificates from the study to justify their own multi-billion dollar vaccination operation.
We didn't report significant findings. I have great shame now when I meet families with kids with autism, because I have been part of the problem. The higher ups wanted to do certain things and I went along with it.
Dr. Thompson issued a statement which the mainstream press did not pick up, admitting that he and his CDC colleagues omitted a statistically significant link between MMR and autism from their 2004 Journal of Pediatrics article that claimed no link exists between vaccines and autism. The CDC is not the only entity accused of engaging in scientific fraud. Merck, maker of the MMR vaccine, is accused of fraud in connection to vaccine effectiveness. Virologist Stephen Crawling and Joan Wilkowski have filed a lawsuit against their former employer and vaccine manufacturer Merck. They claim that by faking effectiveness testing, Merck has misled the United States government and the American public as to the effectiveness of the mumps component of its MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. They say the failing vaccine has contributed to ongoing large mumps outbreaks. Vaccines are failing. Outbreaks are occurring among the vaccinated.
On the Health Watch tonight, an outbreak of pertussis, better known as whooping cough, is being monitored at the Monterey Park School in Salinas. So far, four students have been diagnosed with the highly contagious disease.
In less than 1 month, four students at Monterey Park School have been diagnosed with pertussis, or whooping cough. School officials say of the 524 students, 99.5% are vaccinated, including the four students who have been diagnosed.
The vast majority of whooping cough outbreaks occur in vaccinated children, and health authorities admit the vaccine is not providing long-term protection. The measles vaccine is also failing. In the Disneyland measles outbreak, at least 25 cases were in vaccinated individuals. Measles outbreaks have occurred in highly vaccinated communities in the U.S., Canada, and China. According to the Vaccine Adverse Reporting System, there have been over 64,000 serious adverse reactions to vaccines since 1989, and 5,736 reported deaths. Vaccine injury is real.
Lauren Kane's seizures began 2 hours after her shot. The U.S. Vaccine Court said the vaccine was the cause. Her injuries were profound and eventually claimed her life.
Come on, you're okay. Come on, babe.
Our bodies belong to us. No parent should be forced to risk their child's life to protect someone else.
Okay. Keep in mind the statistic that she just related does not put that into proper or honest context, because the maximum amount of adverse effects that are actually reported is 10% and more likely close to 1%. So now multiply that number of death and injuries, you're into the multiple millions. And now we have over 3 million parents who've had vaccine-injured children. That's a lot of people. And they communicate, they belong to different groups. I flew out to Chicago, met with 400 of them. I filmed them for a whole day, and it was interesting because these were all children with autism spectrum disorder, and they were all in a room, and we lined them up from the smallest to the tallest, a teenager, and their parents were standing behind them, and if you heard them speak, you would not know they had autism spectrum disorder because they were engaged in various protocols, including the DAN protocol, D-A-N protocol, to help them. I had to get their story. I want to put it in Vaccine Nation, as well as Autism Made in USA, because these are the kids you will not see in any of the major television programs. You will not see anyone on CNN or MSNBC or NBC inviting a parent on whose children were healthy, including pediatricians. There were 9 pediatrician mothers in that room that day, and their kids were vaccinated. Then they receded into autism spectrum disorder. Remember, it's not a disease. It's a spectrum. So it can go from very mild to very, very incapacitating and even death. And they had all made improvements. Now, they did it without medicine. So what's the likelihood that a non-pharmacological approach is going to be promoted as beneficial? But that's also why you don't hear any of the people who've had major illnesses coming forth on major media and talking about a healthy approach to both preventing and overcoming these conditions. But they're out there, and they're angry. And state after state is rubber stamping mandatory vaccines. And now in California, they're mandating, they have the bill already in assembly, mandating adult vaccinations. Now, for those of you who didn't do anything about the children's vaccines until your children were not allowed in school, now in New York State, they're coming after homeschool children, and they're going to mandate that even homeschool children must be fully vaccinated. And when I was reading the bill, it stated in there that the punishment could be that you couldn't fly, you couldn't use public transportation, and there's a whole lot of things. You couldn't work. I mean, all kinds of really draconian legislation. So since we didn't wake up when it was our children who were at risk because we were intentionally ignorant and distracted, are we going to be any less interested when they come for the adults? What do you think? I'd like to hear your opinion. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now we're going to go down to Julian Assange. Julian Assange says that nearly every war has been the result of media lies. It's only 2 minutes long.
Well, our number one enemy is ignorance. And I believe that is the number one enemy of everyone, is not understanding what is actually going on in the world. It's only when you start to understand that you can make effective decisions and effective plans. Now, the question is, who is promoting ignorance? Well, those organizations that try to keep things secret, and those organizations which distort true information to make it false or misrepresentative. In this latter category, it is bad media. It really is my opinion that the media in general are so bad, we would have to question whether the world wouldn't be better off without them altogether. There's some very, very fine journalists, and we work with many of them and some fine media organizations, but the vast majority are awful and are so distortive to how the world actually is, that the result is we see wars and we see corrupt governments continue on. One of the hopeful things that I've discovered is that nearly every war that has started in the past 50 years has been a result of media lies. The media could have stopped it. If they had searched deep enough, if they hadn't reprinted government propaganda, they could have stopped it. But what does that mean? Well, that means basically populations don't like wars. And populations have to be fooled into wars. Populations don't willingly and with open eyes go into a war. So if we have a good media environment, then we will also have a peaceful environment.
What are your thoughts on this? I'd like to hear. You have an opportunity to call in and share your points of view. And our final video clip today deals with the people who are the most powerful. None of the people that you're going to hear from are policymakers. These are all opinion leaders. Every one of these people was selected before they were elected or put into a position of power. Every one of them. But they all speak the same, from the same hymnal here, about New World Order, and that's your deep state.
What we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again, and the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened. And some have to be changed.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale. nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period, when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't just a crisis.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
And the hope that each of us has to build a new world order.
And I strongly believe India will be a central actor in the new world order.
Well, this week, PPP released the findings of a poll of how much Americans believe in conspiracy theories. That's where we got our lizard people numbers from. We also learned that the percentage of Americans who believe that a secret power elite with a globalist agenda is conspiring to eventually rule the world through an authoritarian world government or new world order, that percentage is 28%.
Yeah. And you just managed you out to lunch. And you just heard the people promoting it. And in fact, Clinton was promoting it at the on his one day a year with his presidential speech. So, yep, and they are succeeding because look at all the institutions they now have control. And who do you think goes to Davos every year? What group of people would allow themselves to be humiliated and attacked verbally by a 16-year-old girl, Greta Thunberg, for not doing anything about the environment, and stand and applaud her? They're willing to accept that tiny little, you know, uptick of anger, because what she's doing for them, though I'm sure she's not aware of it, but her parents are, the people, her handlers are, is that she's creating a panic, and which is different than raising an awareness of what you can do. You see, there's a difference between being an activist and being active. Activists can be activists all day long. They can march, they can demonstrate, they can lay in streets. Fine. But are they eating a hamburger, drinking a Coca-Cola, wearing a Calvin Klein outfit, Tommy Hilfiger, and Nike shoes at the same time that they're doing that? Or are they actually changing personally, sacrificing personally, downsizing their life personally? There's a huge difference. One will get people's attention, but then causes demand for change, but then causes people to start to spend huge amounts of money, billions to hundreds of billions of dollars per country per year. And who do you think is going to control where that money goes? And carbon cap capture and certain select industries. These are all the people behind the scenes. That's your new world order. That's a reality. Changing the environment, preventing its, preventing the catastrophes that are coming, that's on no one's to-do list. And so, maybe Rachel, who earns up, what is $36,000 every day, she might want to do some homework beyond the talking points that she recites. Your thoughts on all this. Our number, 888-874-488. Let's say hello to Chris from New York. Hi, Chris. Your turn. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon, Gary. I just want to make a few quick comments on this. I was just watching something the other day, and it occurred to me that I don't watch most of these programs anymore because my body, my nervous system can't take it. But, I mean, there's been, I just want to say that there's been a marked decline in critical thinking in our culture just generally, and this includes all peoples with All the people who have those high degrees that we're supposed to go down to. And I'm not knocking education. I love education. But I just think that there's an inability to really think. People think that they're thinking. We think a lot because we have so much going on in our heads and rolling around, but it's not really critical thought. A thought requires a pause and a reflection, which are things that are not encouraged at all in any shape, way, or form. If you're not just constantly running and doing something, you're not considered valuable anymore. And the thing with Maddow, I used to listen to her when it was the first Bush administration in the early 2000s. She was on Air America Radio. She had a whole slew of people. I have to tell you, my impressions of her over the radio at that time, I didn't listen all the time because she was on in the evening. But anyway, I had high respect for her. I regarded her as an intelligent, objective person. And I'm not being negative on her. I understand that she's intelligent and bright and all that stuff. I honestly cannot take it. I cannot take listening to her. I cannot take looking at her. It's just her performance. It's like she's been morphed into some thing that, you know, and the thing is that it's, I think if most of us just sat back and considered the lack of respect that these people who are representing our, you know, so-called culture and our state, I don't know how to, what category to put it in, okay, our country, really have a very low consideration and a disdain for our, some of us, our intelligence. It, you know, if they think that people just actually swallow all this stuff that is like a cheap performance on off Broadway, or plays that have bombed and they're still going on, the comments that they make are really, I mean, if they didn't get to you so much, they would be really funny, you know. So I just think that a lot of people need to, and this is on both sides. I'm a registered Democrat for years, but I have a real problem with the so-called Democratic Party of today for so many reasons. We just need to sit back and really consider the fact that we deserve, if I were talking to a friend or someone in my home or wherever I was, I would expect that they would treat my comments as intelligent as they would treat, you know, the way they would treat themselves.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing that, Chris. We have sent Rachel Maddow over the years every original investigative report that we've done, and if you listen to these reports, they're very scholarly in lay language, but they're fully referenced, they're fully vetted for scholarship and legally, so they could be used in a court of law, or they could be used to empower people to make critical choices on social issues, whether it was on Gulf War syndrome or on the actual background of the White Helmets, who are a terrorist organization. And we documented that with five separate award-winning journalists who are not a part of the mainstream establishment, or on something like be as critical of the Republicans all you want. There's certainly a lot to be critical of, but also be critical of the Clintons and others who've broken laws and gotten away with it. Why should there be a two-tier system? If you're politically aligned, ideologically aligned, you get a pass. If you're the opposition, you don't. And it's this hypocrisy, and that's why I believe we have 104 million independent voters today who once were aligned with either the left or the right, now are not, like yourself. They see it as cheap theater. And yes, she is intelligent. She's a Rhodes Scholar. She comes from a good educational background, as do most of these people. I mean, if you look at the journalists who are out there at the New York Times and Washington Post, these are not slackers. These are people who are fully capable of discerning truth from propaganda. And that's partly why it's so offensive, because you would want to see someone who had taken the time to develop that scholarship apply it in the proper way. Look for the truth, not self-censor and not allow yourself to be swayed by official talking points. Thank you. We have time for one more quick one. Jay, your turn.
Hi, Gary. There's a publication called off-guardian.org, and they had an outstanding piece about 10 days ago
talking about fascism and the different definitions, that the fascism we're facing now is not what we had in the 1940s with the jackboots and the concentration camps that they had at that time. It's more what we are seeing with Big Pharma and the FDA and what they're doing right now that you just spoke about so eloquently. And so we have to take it as that. And I have friends who are talking about leaving the country because of this. I totally understand that. At the same time, we've got to fight, and we've got to fight a lot harder. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I believe that we don't have to fight harder. I think we have to fight with unity. As I just mentioned, we have at least 3 million parents, but they're not working together. Think of the Black Caucus, very powerful group in Congress. They haven't raised a single issue on the fact that the government agency, the CDC, intentionally with malice aforethought, you heard him speak, Dr. William Thompson. I've heard his whole talk. Brian Hooker gave us copies of that. And he acknowledges that he, as the chief scientist, but all of the other scientists, including Colleen Doyle, who you heard under testimony, all were part of that experiment at the CDC showing that the MMR vaccine caused a 224% increase in autism spectrum disorders in African-American children. Wouldn't you think that the Black Caucus, that the Democrats, would want to know the truth and bring him in there under oath, and every single person in under oath, including subpoenaing Judy Gerberding, who was head of the CDC? She got that memo also. Not a word. So you cannot assume the people, based upon their historic political alliance and their supposed public comments of how they're for the people and their constituents, they're not. They are protecting the pharmaceutical industry. They've been captured at that level on that issue, and that shouldn't be tolerated. We don't have unity. We're not coming together, and we should. When we can do that, then we can get someone's attention. Thank you both for your comments. We're out of time. One quick thing before we go. I wish that the station didn't have to play my fundraising all the time. I wish there were at least 15 other people who were raising funds enough to support the station and its overhead. It's just not the case, unfortunately. But one thing that happened over the weekend, it was brought to my attention that the station hasn't honored any of the water filters that were purchased over a year ago. They owe the manufacturer $12,500. And so I'm not going to do any more fundraising until that $12,500 is paid and those people get their premiums. Otherwise, it's just business as usual. And it's so frustrating. Nothing changes. Promises made, nothing changed. So I won't be raising any more funds until that's done. But I will also try to help raise that $12,500. But again, if you just send in a check today and says, here's $12,500, I have no guarantee, I have no confidence that will be used to pay for those filters. We have to have a system where money goes into an account and for premiums only. And the management has refused to do that. So I think we have to understand what's at stake here. If you don't give the premiums, you're going to lose the listeners. They're not going to pledge anymore, or they're not going to listen anymore. And the listener has been the least significant person in this radio station for at least 20 years. And that's got to change, or there won't be any station in 3 months. So I'll come up with some ideas of how we can get the 12,000, pay for those premiums, and get them out to everyone. It's out of sight, out of mind. Oh, we don't have to worry about that. No, you do. You took their money, and you owe it to them. We'll deal with this tomorrow. Hopefully come up with some positive solutions. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.